I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
Welcome to the Startup Chat.
That's right. We're here at Dreamforce in the Sales Hacker booth. And First Cut is recording a video. For those of you that are not able to see us on video.
What are we going to talk about in today's episode?
Something about Dreamforce.
Something about ecosystems?
Yes. So we're going to talk about how to create a business ecosystem and our thoughts on that. We thought that'd be a great idea considering we're at Dreamforce.
Yes.
And they have a small ecosystem, right?
Yeah, tiny.
It's took gaining, over all, half the city. So.
It's gaining steam.
It's gaining
but
steam.
But it took them a while.
Took them a while, right. So.
All right. So how do you... So the theme is really, how do you build an ecosystem around your startup?
Yep.
Right? And around your business. And like thinking about that.
Yep.
Now, this is a topic that needs a little bit of a fine balance, right? Because if a startup in the very early days, most startups in the very early days, when they overthink the ecosystem thing, it actually concerns me.
Yep.
But if you don't think about it at all, it's also a problem long term.
That's right.
Right? So what's the right way to think about ecosystem in the early days, especially?
I mean, let's go back to how it started. Mm. So back in the day, people would sell enterprise software and you'd have value-added resellers.
Yep.
Right? Those are VARs. That's what they called them. And they would be people that would resell your product to their customers because they happened to be service providers.
Yep.
And that was when software wasn't delivered in the cloud and things were more complicated to implement it from an IT standpoint because that's what we used to call it, right?
Yep.
I think that's, for me, the roots of ecosystem come from that. Mm. Right? And a lot of those ecosystems were built on business development relationships.
Yeah.
Right? And it was very human-to-human approach.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that we're at a place, just fast forward all the way to now, we're at a machine-to-machine approach, where like even Close.io has a bunch of integrations because you guys have some level of an API.
Yep.
And that is, in some ways, the start of an ecosystem. And it's a different kind of ecosystem. It's not an ecosystem you're necessarily using to acquire customers. I would say, although it can help you with that, it's an ecosystem that helps people use your product and other ones they're using in conjunction.
Yes. So APIs is a great one. But I love the jump from human to machine.
Yeah, it's human to human, machine to machine,
nicely
right?
Nicely done, sir.
Yeah.
It was all about like resellers, implementation specialists, consultants, like that kind of an ecosystem. Because software was really heavy, you know, and it took a whole army of people to implement it. Today, it's much more lighter.
That's right.
In most cases, not when we talk about these massive organizations and implementation of software can still be pretty...
Yeah. The enterprise stuff tends to have the same model.
Yes. So it still exists in the larger in the larger ecosystem. But now, in today's world, you can do a lot more lightweight things. And one of the easiest and first things to think about is API.
Yeah.
Having a strong API. I can tell you with us, with Close.io, we knew from the get-go that we wanted to stay a fairly small team. So we thought about ecosystem, but we thought, all right, we're not going to start hiring like a partnerships team and and start running a conference and doing events and all kinds of stuff. So how can we do this differently in a lightweight way? And we thought, all right, let's have the best API in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Let's make it so that when customers or other software vendors or even individual software developers that are thinking about building a little app, when they look at our API, they go, oh, shit, I could just build an app on top of Close. Or I could just, you know, this is much easier for us to integrate with our software than the other APIs. So we wanted to win in the ecosystem game by having a really powerful API.
Yeah.
And they made us go API first in our product development, product philosophy.
Yeah. It's great.
From day one till today, whatever we do, we first design the API.
Right.
And then we build the feature on top of it. Yeah. Right. So having a really strong or good API or thinking about API in the really early days, I think is super crucial in today's environment. What other things can you do in today's world in order to think ecosystem without doing reseller partnership stuff?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things you can do even without reseller or partnership. An ecosystem also means like, let's say, a good example, this is WordPress.
Mm.
They have a whole plugin ecosystem. It is still API driven, but then they also have partners that'll build custom plugins for you. So that's more of like this software that's built running inside of your software. So I think that's another example. Another one is still, I think, I would say today an implementation sort of onboarding implementation sort of specialists are still important. Mm. And that's still an ecosystem in my mind. If you have a product that can be customized a lot, that is one opportunity. Another opportunity that comes to mind is if you're a website creation tool, getting designers to create templates and things like that, that's another ecosystem that works if you're a landing page tool too. And then I think the ultimate thing, I'm going to give this example because it's pretty interesting, is this company called Airtable. Mm-hmm. And they just, it's like spreadsheets on steroids is like a very simple way to explain it. And they have beautiful website, beautiful product. One of the things they did is they have this thing called Airtable Universe now. So they've always had templates. Mm-hmm. Now they made it so that they have their customers basically be able to promote their own templates on their site. And it's really early. They launched maybe a month ago or something with this Airtable Universe thing. But to me, that's an ecosystem too. It's actually an ecosystem where your customers are helping you get more customers, helping you show off use cases. It's probably one of the more powerful ones in my mind. And you don't need a conference for that either.
Yeah. DraftSend is another example. You guys just launched.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you did early on was just approach a bunch of people that have really powerful, unique presentations and ask them to upload them to DraftSend.
Yep.
So that's how you launch. And you launch with highlighting a bunch of use cases. But those people are people with big audiences, with big businesses behind them. So it's from day one trying to create a little bit of an ecosystem in a different way.
That's right. Yeah.
For the platform, right?
Yep.
Another thing I'll say in today's world is, today, and this didn't exist, 6-7 years ago, you have companies like Zapier, for instance.
Zapier makes you happier.
Zapier.
I can't say that without my friends over there getting pissed. So.
All right.
Wade, Zapier makes you happier.
Zapier makes you happy. I say the name all the time wrong. I said it wrong to him, I think, last week, and he didn't correct me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure. But anyways, so they allow you to basically create integrations. It's kind of like if this, then that, for business apps in many cases. And that's something where, you're able to now, if you invest in your Zapier integration, and you can do a ton with it, if you really invest in that,
right.
You have somebody on the team, you can empower your customers a ton of ways to integrate with other apps that they're using.
Yep.
And you're able to much quicker go to some of these companies and go, hey, we have a ton of customers that use our tool and integrate with yours. If it's through Zapier or not, who cares? That really doesn't matter at the end of the day.
It's still an integration. So
a lot of our customers use your product as well and use it in conjunction. Let's do an event together. Let's do a webinar together. Let's co-promote. Yeah. Let's work together. Let's get together. And you can build a quick ecosystem and also empower your customers. And show your customers that, wow, these people are part of the larger SaaS ecosystem from day one.
Yeah.
Which is something that would have taken you a lot more energy, time, work, and money to build up.
Yeah, so Zapier is the ecosystem hack.
Yeah.
For SaaS.
That's why they're doing so well, because it's a very powerful value proposition.
Yeah.
So what about you? An ecosystem is never just you show up and then you build around you. It's always you show up and there's already ecosystems in place.
That's right.
And the question is, what is your role in other people's or other companies' ecosystems, right?
Yep.
So how do you think about that? Like, there's platforms, obviously, right? Do we build on top of a existing platform? Do we build an app, an add-on? Like, you could have a WordPress add-on or a Chrome extension.
Right.
You could be, on Facebook with an app.
Yeah.
You could be on whatever it's called, Dreamforce's Exchange platform app thing. So you can look at ecosystems that already exist where your customers are and ask yourself, what role are we going to play in that? How do you make decisions, again, especially from an early stage point of view, like when resources are limited, in terms of what your role is going to be in other people's ecosystems or companies' ecosystems?
I think it goes back to like what you're solving for. Mm. So if you're solving for usage and retention and you think you can build a Chrome extension, Chrome is like over 50% of most people's sites. Like, people come from Chrome. So if you built a Chrome extension because it's a productivity tool or some kind of tool people could use in their browser, that's super interesting. You could even go more lightweight, and there's the kind of browser notifications, which is also a form of a kind of ecosystem. Mm. So to me, early on, what problem are you trying to solve? Are you trying to acquire more customers by integrating with this tool? Are you trying to create a 10x better product experience? Or are you trying to just simply, it's not so simply, but retain customers as a result of integrating? So I think I'd really think about the product. Like today, if you're in the document space in any capacity, it almost doesn't make sense for you to not integrate with Dropbox. A lot of people's documents live at Dropbox.
Yeah.
If you're focused on enterprise, you probably want to integrate with Box.
Box, yeah.
Right? That's, I think, an example there. If you can imagine doing anything in the browser where while someone's browsing different websites or doing their work in a browser, your stuff can show up, then a Chrome extension, even Safari has extensions and stuff like that, would be super critical.
Yeah, I love that. I think the thing that I see oftentimes is that a startup in the early days, they'll look at the different ecosystems that exist already, and they'll think of them primarily as a customer acquisition opportunity, right? How can we go to somebody else's ecosystem, right, get tons of users or tons of customers?
Right.
Not so much from a product value proposition perspective,
yeah,
of how does this add value to our core customer base,
yeah,
or target customer base. And then what I see is that a lot of them go to, they think broad versus thinking deep. Right, so they go, well, you know, there's five ecosystems we know and platforms. Let's just build a quick app on all of them, right, as quickly as possible, and then surely it's going to rain customers our way. And for those who don't see the video, you know, a Heaton's reaction is one of like heartbreak, heartbreak. Because that's obviously, you know, usually not a really good idea.
It happens a lot in the e-commerce space.
Because
there's a lot of e-commerce tools you can integrate with that are platforms that provide web stores for people. And there's only a couple that actually drive reasonable volume when it comes to users. And still, you're doing a lot to promote yourself.
Yes. My point is always, you're going to have to work a lot harder than you think.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's the case always, though.
Always.
Okay.
Yes. That's
just making sure.
That's our lifelong mantra.
Yeah.
But it especially beautifully applies here because people think because there's an ecosystem in place, a platform, I just hit launch on the app that we've built, and then people just show up. Magic happens. You're going to have to do a lot to be surfaced on that.
That's right.
You're going to have to work hard for it to be promoted. Right?
Ratings because, and descriptions and
ratings,
all
descriptions.
Iteration of it. And
yes, and then talking to the marketing department or the partnerships and integration department and make sure that maybe you're included in a newsletter, maybe you can be a featured app.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff, making sure that you segment out the users that come through their platform from others, and you listen to their feedback. Do they like it? Don't they like it? Are their expectations skewed? Right? So it might be raining users, but they might not convert to customers for whatever reason. So you're going to have to really invest in that, just like in anything else. And I think that too many times people go, well, our growth strategy is going to be, you know, launch these five apps. It's a Chrome extension here. It's an add-on here. It's a core app there. And then surely, you know, this platform has 10 million users. This platform has 100 million users. And then they make some, like, you know, messed up, like, oh, we surely can get 0.1% of them. And yes, you know, the eye roll, the heat and eye roll at this point drops. And obviously, no, right? That's not gonna fucking work out. So pick and choose. When you're a startup, you have limited resources. You wanna think about building an ecosystem and you wanna be part of one, you know, if there's a useful and important one.
Yeah.
But you wanna invest really deeply in those oftentimes.
I like that.
And really make them work. And remember that that's also going to take iterations, and it's going to take, you're going to start with an MVP version of whatever that is, and you're going to have to keep iterating until maybe 6, 9, 12 months down the line. You really are getting the benefits and the returns on that.
Yeah, there's no silver bullet on the ecosystem.
I think that's it for us for this episode.
Yeah, that's it.
There's another episode you can find in the show notes. We're going to point to it that we did about partnerships, which is very closely related to the ecosystem one. And don't forget to give us 5-star ratings and a review on iTunes because that's an ecosystem we're playing
on
with this podcast.
Yeah.
All right, that's it from us.
See ya.